nothing but love is set to be offered to all. In times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutti, Ambi, Adi, Ambi, Sangha. I turn to the perfect nature and truth for guidance, again and again may it be so. Sarvam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sarvam. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha-nirodha-gamini-patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering and dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. My compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. My compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves its path. and by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all such entities. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry with correct vision. In this way, I do most deeply vow to carry myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, sattva. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering and it's more important than it people than suffering. If anything suffering is not more important than anything, then we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing suffering over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and suffer.
Looking at goodness is.
Goodness is.
And the process of knowing that's true, having that experience, and the process of losing touch with that, and believing a voice telling me what I am and how I am.
So the process of goodness is seeing how that's so actually your experience, and then watching also a process of not experiencing, of a voice telling you who you are and what you are.
Yeah, and actually I just noticed when I said that, a voice telling me, I could feel this emotion arise, and that's one of the things I've been looking at, how I get caught in a place of believing. When I say goodness is, I mean, we all are. This human being is good.
Yeah.
It's just, it's how it is.
It's just
established.
It's what is.
Yeah, it can't not be.
You don't have to try. It's not something that you're achieving.
No.
Yet.
Can't earn it. Can't make it happen.
Some are.
Yeah, it's just like what is, and then we leave to go on something else other than that. And I just got to see over the week, essentially, how I get lost. I think, essentially, because of my whole life, I've spent believing worthlessness. And that conversation is so, been around so long, and even through practice, where it's like, okay, I don't believe that, self-hate. But it's still going on. And it's going on in the dark. And so I think what happened over the last week, we were on retreat, there's nothing wrong with you, that the light that exposes the lies of you're not this, you are, you have something wrong with you, like, it like, oh, for the quarter there's this And the process is, it just feels like me. It doesn't get, there might be an acknowledgement of like, gosh, I don't feel quite enthusiastic like usual, mm-hmm. or lit up or something like that, mm-hmm. but there's still not much of a questioning of, well, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like that with practice, there are these places where self-hate comes in, and there's a sense of, yeah, I don't believe that, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. And yet, what you're realizing is that there are these other places where it's off in the dark, and you're not seeing that it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still back there.
Yeah.
And that in this experience of being on retreat, the light got larger and shone into corners where you got to see, oh my gosh, it's still there.
And I think when the emotion, first of all, it's just good to see that emotion comes up.
Yeah.
Because it is like, when I'm not in that place, mm-hmm. it's like I'm wrapped in, we talk about being wrapped in saran wrap.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, doink, doink, is there, are you alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how do you not feel, you know, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really seems like, mm-hmm. and you know, you just don't have the grip. See that person? I mean, mm-hmm. but you're just kind of, you're going to just coast along and mm-hmm. you know, eventually you'll leave and give up. And mm-hmm. you know, there's just those messages going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like someone's not alive, they're in a trance.
Yeah.
And it's not being acknowledged. And so when it gets acknowledged, when the light shines on, then there's a release
yeah.
of the tension that caused. And I guess the tension, as I just said, that is the tension is we are good. So to be living in anywhere else is the tension.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a tension between what we actually know, you know, in our heart, in the fiber of our being is true. There's that. And there's this just constant kind of, as you say, often hidden conversation that's coming at me. And the tension between those two things that we don't even often realize until that tension begins to be relieved and there's that emotion mm-hmm. that comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, I really start relaxing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, the other kind of place of looking at how am I controlled? It's like, I remember pretty early on, maybe after the first year of the practice, I think I remember describing to a monk on a call that it felt like there was a sense I was still being controlled,
mm-hmm.
but that the ring about being controlled had expanded.
Mm-hmm.
There was I could actually like mm-hmm. put my arms out, spread mm-hmm. my arms out, and there was room to do that now,
mm-hmm.
rather than feeling like I was in a tiny box.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an awareness that I was still being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And it still feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can still sense that ring. It's just that it seems like the ring gets bigger. But what it seems like is missing is an examination of how that ring happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the image that came up is like I'm on the path, and the programming, the survival system, ego centric karma conditioning, self-hate, allows me to walk on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere along the path, actually, even that image of just walking out of the monastery up the road towards the gate,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're walking and you're seeing these things, and da da da, and then you get to something that's not, you can't see,
mm-hmm.
but it is like a gate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like an invisible, one of the electrified gates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like you don't actually even
yeah.
get to the point of touching it and going down.
Yeah.
There's just the energy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get acknowledged that you know, disturbance, that jitter in the system means it's been conditioned.
Yeah.
I mean, just like Pavlov's dog,
it's
conditioned to, that means turn around.
Exactly.
That means go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what I wake up into is a realization that I've gone back.
Uh-huh.
But what I wake up into self-hate about it,
mm-hmm.
and it says something like, ultimately you just want what's easy.
You're always going to turn back.
You're going to turn back because you actually don't really, you know, you don't really, it's something about, you'll sell yourself out and anybody else out to, as long as you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I can see that as a projection from the voices now.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I don't, because then it feels very real. And it gives you this evidence throughout your life.
Yeah.
Because I have done that. I mean, I have done that in identification.
Yeah.
Sold myself and other people out.
Yeah.
So as long as, just so I don't have to, okay.
Yeah. I'll do anything.
And I'll turn around. I mean, as long as you let me walk up and down the road a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Then, okay.
And I can walk farther than I used to be able to.
Yeah, I can walk further. And it's just like, but I'm still a slave. You know, and that's remarkable.
Yeah, and there's so many images like that, right? There's the one of the fish, you know, where they have a glass wall and the fish thing, and then they take the glass wall out and the fish never cross that line, even though it's just wide open water. Or the cattle guard one, that's another I love, where they have a cattle, you know, the cattle learn you can't cross this guard thing. And from there on, all they have to do is paint lines in the road. And the cattle won't go over it, you know. And so it's that same thing. And what's so pernicious about the way you're laying it out, and what's so for all of us, is that we're trained to do that,
yeah.
And then we're blamed for doing it.
Exactly.
And that's why I project the awareness of, I think what you said is, you never really, it's never occurred to you to look at how is that turning around happening. And so before we're able to look at how that turnaround is happening, there's a way in which we absolutely can't be held responsible for that. And it says nothing about it.
Right? Yeah.
So you turn around and that means this and it means this and you're going to give up and all you care about is comfort. But actually, there's no consciousness there. You're not actually making any decision.
Exactly. There's no consciousness there. And I've been an inspiration of a lot of commitment people have made over a long period of time, but especially this season of retreats, and there's nothing wrong with you doing 12 letters every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a 50-day commitment, and then that ended. And you're just kind of like, well, why would we end this?
Right.
And how about another 50? Like, ah, what the heck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a lot of information going on in those exchanges and the love letters, and one of them is that place of that place of you won't choose life, well, we know where that's coming from. It's like you're looking from the identification back at life and saying you won't choose that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it won't choose that.
Yeah.
From those lenses that we're putting on, those glasses, and looking, because ego can't choose life.
Yeah.
And it would never, because that would be the end of its life.
That's right.
So that's, we can end that discussion.
Exactly. We don't have to talk about that anymore.
Yeah. And I think, too, just looking at models like Gandhi, one of the things out of his teaching, or I guess out of the movie in particular, was the sense of, you know, with India and England, you know, the tyrants and the oppressed, and it's like, it just seemed like he was super clear that you can't be controlled unless you choose to be. And it's like, what? No, I mean, you have to fight and do that.
I mean, that's them doing this to us.
Yeah, and at least I get a little room to walk around, or I get a little. And he was just so clear, like, no. I mean, every little moment, like, no, I'm going to walk myself out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to pay the whatever to get out of jail. Like, no, and then every time the person in charge.
What do we do with that? Yeah.
What do we do with that?
Yeah.
And they had to just let it go.
Exactly. Because the mechanism of control is useless.
The mechanism of control is useless if the other side is not playing its part.
If I don't pull on my side of the rope.
Which is inspiring to be able to see the amount of power that we have from awareness.
Yes, exactly. That's what was coming through for me too. And something we looked at so much in the retreat, and always do, is that once it occurs to us to question, what is that process of turning around? That's all that we need bring to the process. It's just curious about that.
Yeah.
Just look, we don't have to make it happen. We don't stop doing it. We don't have to feel bad about it. We don't have to anything. But now it opens up this whole exploration of, how does that happen? It's going to be fascinating to see. And that's where the tables get turned. So instead of like, oh God, I'm being controlled and I hope that doesn't happen anymore, it's like, I hope that happens today.
Exactly.
So that I can get triggered because I want to get some more information about that.
Yeah, I think I was just listening to that place on an older radio show, I mean like last month radio show, where once we have that relationship with the mentor, with that support, then there's nothing to fear.
Nothing.
And there isn't wanting to avoid anything, because it's so we benefit so much.
Exactly.
And actually, what we don't really care if it's like afraid or joyful. What I want is that connection.
Yeah.
I want that oneness. I want to be back home. I want it. So from there, let's do everything and anything together. There is no duality of this good thing or not good thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I don't know about someone when he's come in, but there's this place I think where he was talking, fasting as a way to get people to
pay attention.
Exactly. And he was saying that even when things are hard, we always, something like, when things are hard, he always remembers that there's always been tyrants and murderers. And when we look at history, that truth and love has always won. They've always fallen. And of course, we know that the tyrant and murderer is in our head, that it's only in our head. And it's like, it has always fallen. And I watch it fall all the time. So I know that place, that truth and love always wins.
Yeah.
It's just that the awareness collapses and I lose that perspective.
Yeah.
Which is why recording this name is so
critical. Yeah. I remember early on in practice for me, having sort of an aha moment of realizing, the voices are always, God, why does it always come back to difficulty? Why does it always come back to, and it's like, gosh, you could at least as equally say the reverse.
Yes.
Look at that. It always comes back to expansiveness.
Yes.
It always comes back to joy. It always comes back to, because, it's that undulation thing.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
But it's just, somehow those values just seem like they catch us.
Well, it's amazing. I do a daily review every day, and it's just amazing the amount of the day that gets obscured.
Mm-hmm.
Like in one of the love letters that Mentor was saying, was talking about how hard our work is. And are you able to take that in?
Mm.
And there's just this like, no, I'm not. And then it's like, well, let's look at our day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's like,
it's astounding.
Yeah. How did that get complete, just like, no comments, no, nothing, just invisible?
Yeah.
But there's that point where you didn't want to do that. Or that point where you sat down for a little bit.
So you 30 minutes of meditation on for
We're going to get right back to, you got to do it with a mentor. There's just, there's no other way to do it, which is great.
and the miracle that when we look and we really stop and get quiet for any length of time, that perspective is right here. That mentoring perspective is right here. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's why you know that everything else is added.
Yeah.
All the suffering is added because all you do is get quiet for a second and you're in touch with the base, with what actually is true.
So I'm looking at energy management. And let's see. So the premise, or the sort of the basis that I'm going on, is that excuse me, there's been just a big fluctuation of energy. I was out visiting, family.
A little water break.
And had this very expansive heart opening time.
Mm-hmm.
And then got to come back to a very busy time. So it was perfect. There was plenty of places for the energy to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the expansiveness was big energy.
Mm-hmm.
Pour it into lots of physical activity, which is my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then toward the end, when things were tapering off,
mm-hmm.
Even at the beginning, I could really feel some big eruptions. Sound paranoid, but I project that was ego really trying to come in with its big guns to get this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
counting on that transition.
Yeah.
Being a time when it could do it.
Exactly. So much of last week was felt like navigating rapids. So there was that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that got kind of navigated. I could see what was going on. And because there was so much work to do, the energy got to stay here. And then as it began to taper, I could feel the I only saw this last night and this morning. I could feel sort of the damming of the energy happening. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, there's not a lot of physical stuff that I have to do right now.
Yeah.
And so it feels like it sort of comes up, and boy, I'm so vulnerable to ego just descending and making that its own in that moment, in that time.
Yeah, so, I mean, we often talk about that transitions are a time when ego really does try to come in. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that transition from a very expansive time coming back was facilitated by having a lot of physical things for the energy to be on. Mm-hmm. And so you were able to move through those rapids as that was happening, and ego wasn't able to really come in and take it, even though you could see it was really trying to do that. It wasn't able to, because you really had that physical movement to be able to move through those rapids. As things started to taper off, it could feel like the energy was starting to dance, and it really was making a move to come in and take it at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what it used is emotion.
Mm.
I don't know if that's exactly the right relationship, but that's what it feels like. It could get me upset about something.
Yeah.
It was going to surf it all, leave me feeling all depleted.
And make it real.
Yeah.
Right? Don't make it real. Just really convince me that there's something to be upset about, and then offer the energy.
Yeah, and there were two ways that I was practicing with it. One was, of course, listening a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening a lot. But even that, boy, that was...
Mm-hmm.
It was really almost not enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So turn up the volume.
I know. And listen to something like, I need to hear something really compelling. I'm sorry, I love that recording, but it's just not going to work right now. You know? And so there was that. And then the other thing that I was delighted to kind of see was in sitting.
Mm.
So this is really where I think the workshop is for me at the edge right now.
Mm.
Because I don't want to have to be in movement all the time to be okay.
Yeah.
That's exhausting.
Yeah.
But when I was sitting, there were some times that I could get into that stillness so completely that I wish I could describe and have a sense of what was really happening to the energy in that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. Where does all that energy go?
Yeah.
All I know is that there was silence that was so compelling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but what just dropped in as you were saying that is it's like there is that, certainly my experience, that when there's that big energy, it's just like that. Love the dishes, love the rake, give me a shovel, right? And there's such an enthusiasm for all of that, and that it does feel like it helps facilitate the energy. And that when there isn't an obvious thing that needs my attention right now, it is much more likely, I am much more likely to be vulnerable to the voices. But when you were just saying that sitting, it's like, gosh, that's interesting that profound stillness and silence, in a way, holds that big energy just in a very different way or form.
Yeah. And I wonder if not, I would not say that that's my experience with twinkling, what we talk about twinkling, but there's something that's arising right now that there's a connection, because in that silence that I'm describing, I would not say, oh, that's twinkling, because it feels even stiller than that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I bet it's somehow related to what we were being pointed at, that sense of just holding it.
That makes sense, because I think we often use that notion of twinkling when, say, at the end of a retreat, and there's so much energy, so I want to go and tell my best friend, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And so we often talk about twinkling as an alternative to essentially dissipating the energy.
Yeah.
And so it does make sense that was maybe not the same thing, but similar to not needing to move the energy, but to be with it in a sense, allow it to be.
And there's one last little thing. I was so guided through this whole, and being guided through this whole workshop.
Mm-hmm.
because, I mean, it's just this, it was so, there was such a feeling of it wasn't a feeling of compassion. I didn't feel, it didn't feel good all of this time. Mm-hmm. But I knew I was being guided all the time. Even when, like, I would feel that emotion start, I would kind of reach for the Kleenex. I know there's going to be this outburst of meltdown, and then it'd be like, no, you don't have to go there. Just don't. Just clean it back and just do something else. You know?
Yeah.
And not go there. And even this morning after breakfast, it's like, okay, we've got time. Normally, I love to go sit in my picture window and look at the trees and the birds, but that didn't feel like the thing to do. I needed to do something. Mm-hmm. And so, well, especially while it's not so hot, but you can't. Mm-hmm. Which is another part of the workshop,
yeah.
Right? When the heat makes you be still.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this energy when I'm
100 degrees?
Exactly. So anyway, it was just that sense of being guided. Mm-hmm. And even when I could tell that I wasn't picking up the recorder to record, mm-hmm. and I was little, I could hear ego going, you're not recording very much lately. You're really not, you know. And even sensing that, even knowing that, you know, there's a sense where we're okay, you know.
Exactly.
It's such a comforting thing to realize that even when it feels crummy,
yeah.
we can still be being guided.
Yeah. But through all of that, as you say, it's not so much that you were feeling the compassion at the time,
right.
but it didn't feel great through the whole thing, but just a sense of being guided.
Yeah.
A sense that you were, and I love that image of, you know, so the voice comes in and says, you know, you're not really recording very much. And it's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But almost like, as you said that, I got this image of the gatekeeper where it's like there's that mentoring presence who's so respectfully letting Rebecca have this whole experience, isn't coming in to rescue her, isn't changing it, isn't doing anything, but is there to say to that voice, uh-huh, and to turn to Rebecca to say, you're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing fine.
Oh, true. I had to. I mean, that's something, and it lies anyway.
Yeah. On top of all that, it's not even telling the truth.
So one of the retreats said something about these poor people who aren't hoping to be in here with this huge transformational experience, but get, have to be out there hauling water and everything. And so many times during the retreat that dropped in, was like, this is so my workshop, so for me, you know, and that, if I'd been sitting still all that time, I would have exploded.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It's just
that point of divine intervention where I, you know, with each retreat, each person is playing whatever role they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for many of us in this room, that can really change from one retreat to another. And just watch that willingness to just, you know, and it's one organism.
Yeah.
It's one thing.
And for each one,
it's not the
perfect thing.
The perfect thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. So I'm looking at a number of different things. And one was transition from the retreat, and seeing that the structure of the retreat, or I don't know how to say it, it's almost like the intention gets, there's a kind of way that the intention gets used during the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Like conditioning reminds me of, you know, what's coming up and what to be afraid of and how this is good, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I do, yeah.
So there's like an impetus to practice in that. There's catching on to that and then, you know, okay, yeah, great, thanks. And then, you know, moving back to presence. And then when the retreat ends, all of that goes.
Yeah.
And so then it's just to me to be doing all of what the retreat was doing.
Oh, yeah. What a good point.
Yeah. And at that point, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. And
almost like, if I'm following what you're saying, sort of like, it's obvious that the stakes are high during the retreat, that
yeah.
kind of a sense, and then
yeah.
those...
So there's a demand for presence.
There's a demand,
sense.
Yeah. And then that demand goes away, and now it's just up to me.
Me to demand presence.
See,
that's very
little shaky.
And I can feel, and I was looking to see if there's like...
if the resistance is just constant through all of it, and then as the retreat ends, as I just drop into the resistance a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Don't know, but
sure.
It kind of feels that way. And so
yeah.
I could feel that last night, like,
yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah.
None of this works, you know, the usual things. And then this morning there was like the tinges of resignation and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And what dropped in was that what it felt like was conditioning was just reacting to the previous place in the process, man.
Uh-huh.
If that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
Like nothing else was going on other than,
yeah.
Well, we were just there.
Yeah.
And so now we're here.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with anything whatsoever. Uh-huh. Which was kind of a fun little thing to say.
Yeah.
That it's not related to, you know, it has no roots other than it just did that, and so now we're going to do this. And
so you would like us to think there are roots, and there's a reason for that and all of that, but in fact, just seeing conditioning is just reacting to the last thing that happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in that, it mimics life in that what came before is this kind of the input for what now is. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
uh-huh.
You know, each moment, you take each moment, and that's the input for the next moment.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it just kind of marches on like that.
Yeah.
So it feels like it parallels life in that way. So it makes sense that those two would, right, follow
yeah.
each other and
yeah.
that kind of
yeah.
thing. And then just watching the sensations. And had this sense of just looking to keep it all in awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a feel for like the depression as it starts to widen out, fill out, mm-hmm. and be grabby with the attention.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel that there was a, that would grow, and I feel more like I'm identified,
mm-hmm.
but that the awareness never vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end of it, you know, it would just undulate.
Yeah.
And it would pull over here, and
yeah.
I'd feel like, well, I'm in awareness now, I don't feel as vulnerable to
yeah.
that,
yeah.
but it's still there.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
And then it would just kind of go back and forth like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Gosh, it's a great description. It feels like it's similar to what we're all looking at this morning, really. It's that
yeah.
sense that it is back there, attempting to do its thing. I mean, it's like Scott's image of, you know, it's in that dark corner. Or Rebecca's image of, you know, it's really trying to do its thing. But it's so clear in all of these conversations that it requires our attention
mm-hmm.
to bring it to life. And so the minute it can get our attention, and I think what we're all pointing at is transition is one of those big opportunities for it, right?
Because it's freed up.
Right, exactly. The attention
yep.
is so right here. I mean, you're in the match, right? I mean, you're not going to be wandering around. And then that match is over. And then it's like, let me just go see what's going on back here. Right?
I've seen those trees before.
And then it's like, wow, it's still there. And then it begins to grow. But then we see that. And the awareness stays there. And there's this, I don't know quite what it's a seesaw or what the image is, but I love that description of, you know, that it feels like the depression starts to
kind
get bigger.
Waving
yeah.
back and forth. And,
yeah.
You know. You know,
yeah.
And no problem in any of it.
Yeah.
Although, in the more identified place, I can really feel it's like the pressure to
yeah.
give into it, to
yeah.
really let go
mm-hmm.
into it. And,
yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And then even on the awareness side, conditioning is still very saying, well, just let go into the awareness.
Uh-huh.
Which usually is the start back.
Yeah, exactly.
Waving back in that direction.
Yeah. Because I would project in that, let go into the awareness is sort of this. Because I don't want that place. You know, there's still a sort of in relationship to the...
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 There's an I'm making a comment. And then I think one of the next... Usually the next stop is shame. Like,
mm-hmm.
like a sense of failure comes with mm-hmm. another shame.
Mm-hmm.
And got it. But let's see... that there actually doesn't have to be any content to that. That once the sensations of feeling like I'm a failure come up, then shame is kind of a given, because if I feel like a failure, I should be ashamed.
Absolutely. Completely unquestioned.
Yeah.
It just goes together.
Like I know, they just go together like that, and I just say, oh yeah, okay. So that's pretty liberating to see that there's...
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's just like a search for... Another search, but sometimes we can't be like, what did I do?
And that, you know, that's even in a way helpful, isn't it? Especially the first few times we really catch on to that, like, okay, all right, let me see, what did I do? And then to realize there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Nothing, yeah. Right? Or if we find something and really the absurdity of it, right?
I mean, well, that, I mean, it says, well, that.
Yeah, because you didn't change your slippers. You know, whatever it is. So it's just to realize that's why it is so helpful. Again, I think we're looking at it with both got in the back of it. Why it's so helpful to turn and look at it straight.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, yeah, that shame is completely, yeah, assumed. It's true, it's real, da da da. We don't question anything about it.
Yeah.
And on we go.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then, too, from Friday night when Cher was talking about anxiety and being life force arising.
Yeah.
Seems, yeah, really helpful. And so, I mean,
yeah.
Just in that way that becomes a kind of a universal experience. Any emotion that's arising is just the life force. And we don't need to have any conversations about any of it. Just celebrate the life force coming up and we're all set.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Got it. That's
This is the experience of being human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think someone was on the retreat was talking about just that sense of like, wow, there's kind of this like, wow, I get to join the human race.
Uh-huh.
I'm a human being.
Yeah, the full range of feelings, emotions.
And I don't have to be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? You know, a dog ashamed that its tail wags. You know, I mean,
stop that wagging. Can't believe you wagged it.
My version of that would be my tail is not wagging.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what's that, my tail? What's that? In a period of transition, it's just kind of, as we talked this morning, the scene, it's not I in a period of transition, it's, you know, just this universal, like, it's just this general period of transition.
Yeah, the wave is waving.
The wave is waving, there's a Peace quote this week that just really spoke to me, and it was the one that was that Pema Chodron quote about how if everything that's happening at this moment is chosen by you specifically for, I don't really know what word it was, whether it was for awakening or and all the things, you know, whether it's the negativity, whatever. It's just right in this moment. It's been chosen. And just for...
Perfectly orchestrated.
And that's just been so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to remember that you know, there just doesn't have to be any fighting against it or, you know, wishing it was different. Or, you know, there is something in this experience right here. It doesn't have to be different. It's just, this is it. This is the jewel, so to speak.
It's kind of, again, like Scott was talking about, I don't have to avoid it.
Yeah.
I don't have to be afraid of it.
That just shows up to me so often. You know, not being the right person, you know. Especially, you know, not being the right spiritual person, not being the right whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And that, you know how that goes.
I do.
You've got to get it fixed, and then I can get it fixed, and then I can show up in group and be, you know, I can be the fixed person.
Yeah. And then we look and we think, it's sort of like being a parent. Is that what I want to model for people?
Yeah.
Because do I want other people to feel like I only want to see and hear from them in this room if they fixed it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, we would never hold anyone else to that.
Well, there's just these things crashing that I want to say all into, but a part of it is that the year-long retreat, the homework about how are you in a group.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know? A lot there.
Yeah, there's so much there. I've noticed, how are you in a group? And it's just that whole thing about, what face who shows up in a group, or what do I say, and how do I, just that constant monitoring.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed for some time, and I don't know, this, I haven't teased it out yet, but, even in reporting diet, it's like, I can't, there's kind of this cringiness to listen to, but the diet, it's like,
kind of that same sense of like who's showing up.
Who's showing up in that diet, Just getting this feeling that it's not terribly authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Not that when I'm alone either do I think it's always terribly authentic, but I don't know.
And is there a sense, as you say that now and as you listen to those diets, is there a sense of kind of a judgment of her, or
I think there is some judgment going on, like, I can't believe you said that,
And it's kind of another one of those places, isn't it, that we're looking at this morning, where I imagine it'll be interesting as you turn straight to that to see, because chances are pretty good, if we go back to goodness is, that, I'm not quite sure how to say it, but I think you'll track, that there are probably really good reasons for that. In the sense of, she's not showing up in a group in these X, Y, and Z ways, or saying these certain things in dyads because she's a bad person.
Right.
Or because she, right? I mean, there's something going on there.
There's something.
You said monitor. She's being monitored, she's being talked to, and that's having a huge impact on what her experience is in those situations. And then, the classic, and then she gets blamed for that.
That's the whole thing, There's a really good person.
Doing
the best, then all this judgment comes through about, my God, I can't believe, can't you just say it?
Come on.
Can't you say it right?
Can't you just be authentic and natural?
Can't you just?
Okay, I'll be authentic and natural.
Can't you, it's more like, can't you be helpful for other people?
Wow.
Which is, that's just so. And then, I didn't expect this to happen when I came into this morning. It's just struck, the first conversation with goodness and of everyone in this room, and what it takes to stay. What it takes to stay.
It's not small.
that people, let's see, just seeing, how it is, like in the retreat and everything, people come and there's this opportunity to offer practice. A practice that it will not allow people in suffering in their lives is big. It's huge. And how often that's not the case. It's not. Who knows? It doesn't. Who knows? I can't. Who knows in the bigger picture?
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like sometimes it's offered and then, we don't know what happens. We never see that person. Or someone's here for a long period of time, even living, and then they go. Who knows? They go. And And it can feel at times like, wow, you know how it is like in the world, like, it's just like, well, we all agree that this is the way it is. Mm. We all agree that, you know, having a nuclear family that you go to,
that's where you have a happy
Easter life. And you know, all of that is like a happy life. Mm. And so that must be real.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we have this small community of folks that is doing something that's so huge, mm-hmm. and so few people have the courage to stay with.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can feel like, oh gosh, you know, if there were thousands of folks, well then maybe it would, but that'd be proof I'm doing the right thing. You know,
yeah.
I'll be doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Gosh, if just one person you know, is walking their truth and they're saying it and they, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, part of what I hear you saying, because a few minutes ago you were talking about that place where we get tortured with, you've got to be the right person.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of internal conditioning and there's a lot of shared social conditioning about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to make the choices that seem so for oneself, which could look anyway, it can be very, very challenging with keeping the attention here on what's so right now for this person,
mm-hmm.
and not, well, oh my gosh, should I have did that, and am I this way, and am I...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is. It's just coming back here, and just letting that goodness in, and letting that, just being able to stop and acknowledge that and give up any standards about what that looks like, you know.
Exactly. And just, I don't know if this is a piece of it for you, but when I look at that sort of thing, just receive the gift of what life seems to be calling and offering to this person.
Yeah.
And just really receive that gift.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then there's that place of, gosh, but when they're doing this, and how come they get so, you know, and
right.
It's like, you've probably heard me say it before, but one of my sisters has a friend who's actually my parents' generation, and she'll always say, honey, no one gets it all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person who is ridiculously wealthy, has so much money. I mean, you know, and she has her own story. She did have kids, and she does, now she has grandkids, but one of them didn't marry someone, but she left, and one of them is, you know, just the, all of that, right? And she always says that, honey, no one gets it all. And somehow that's very reassuring in the sense of no one's going to meet the ego standard. That's kind of how I translate it. So let that go and live this life, receive this life.
No one's going to get it all from ego for sure.
Yeah, no one's going to meet that standard.
I don't want it, you know.
Because that's not, the standard isn't there to be met.
Mm-hmm.
The standard is there to be.
Sure, exactly.
So even if I did, quote, meet the standard, it's going to shift.
Uh-huh.
Okay, somehow I pulled off getting that house and it does have a life to get on. But my husband is a jerk. I did not know that was going to be the equation, you know, for the, okay, I got rid of him and I got a better husband now. Okay, but you know what?
Right.
I didn't count on is that he would become president. Now I have to.
Right, right. Totally. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Because we're being trained again. We're being trained to be dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And if we realize that, then we can switch and go, got it. I can let all of the content of life go, and I can train to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I can train to be here. I can train to be happy in that capital H sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it does take training, because I think, again, as we're all pointing at, that conversation is absolutely at the ready.
Oh my God.
If our attention isn't right here, all the time, at every moment, it's ready to just take up the mantle. And
exactly. I mean, it's recording the love letters every day. It's the time you're just taking, appreciating, like daily, like, wow, what you know. Because, yeah.
You walk how many steps in one room?
Really? I know, 15 steps. And I
don't know where I'm in the kitchen.
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. I know. The guy said, you've got your outdoor shoes on inside and your indoor shoes on outside. And I go, well, yeah.
Because I live my life.
I do my indoor, or I do my indoor steps in the
My exercise is all in this room. But it's so just for the recording, for the larger context.
Yeah.
You did a lot of cooking and kitchen work this last
Right.
All of that, and it truly is extraordinary.
Yeah.
It truly is extraordinary how, I mean, kind of proving that it's not about the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a funny, in a way, it's a funny parallel to make, but I think it really fits in one sense. That image that Sherry used recently on a radio show that I've always loved too is that Mandela supposedly walked however many miles every single day in his jail cell.
In his jail cell, boy. Yep. That was inspired me. But yeah, you know, it doesn't matter
what
circumstances you find yourself in. You just
the freedom is not about where I am and what's going on.
Yeah,
it's about all about what's going on in here.
Exactly.
In the internal experience.
And just that wholehearted participation in whatever, wherever you find yourself, just like going for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that place we were looking at a little while ago was, you know, with every retreat, and that could be a metaphor for all of life, wherever life puts me, whether I would choose it, quote, or not, just that opportunity to, and just go.
Yeah. And not to question what the gift looks like, it's like,
What?
That's a gift?
That was last week's gift.
Really? I make these adjustments to it, and those adjustments to it, but just, you know, to say thank you.
Christopher.
Being here is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Because being here allows me to be here.
In with you,
with
yourself, uh-huh.
And that's something that is so difficult.
Oh, amen.
Is to procure even for a minute on the outside.
Yeah.
I've only been once, and I can only imagine how wonderful and beneficial a retreat would be.
Mm-hmm.
And the first conversation of the morning really resonated very profoundly philosophical on what I kind of would describe as the parameters of fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, what are the parameters we set up for ourselves on fear? And when you talk about the cow who won't cross the grate in the road, or the fish with the invisible barrier, there are always in our lives perceptible and imperceptible recognition of fear for our own self-preservation. Lower order creatures like the cow and the fish, to higher orders creatures like ourselves, and in a way we train ourselves to avoid these fears for fear of being hurt. The cow knows it's going to fall, the fish bumps into this invisible barrier, here's the visual fear, the painted lines on the road, and here's still the invisible thing. And, you know, we allow ourselves to become lower order creatures in thinking for, you know, our own self-defense mechanisms, when it just takes a little bit more forethought to say, let me just try this painted, you know.
I'm just stick my hoof out there.
Yeah. You know,
I won't put my whole body weight.
Oh, it's three-dimensional painting. And now you're on the other side to something better. And
the exhilaration of having tried it and not believed the...
It's no, you know, no pain, no gain. And like the fish will not go back and explore for fear of bumping into the hard glass when we have the ability to just, reach out. There's nothing there. It's not a spinning fan. It's not a flame. It's just right is just, and always what you want is just an inch beyond how far you think you can stretch. This morning's meditation was just one little epiphany after the other, and once I have that clarity that just in listening to all of you sharing today, everything everybody said here was just so deeply profound after such a wonderful meditation, and I think a shared consciousness of all of what it is we want. So thank you very much, Olga.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just about everything that is said in this room. On some level, I know for me, I resonate with. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, the content might be slightly different, and the phrasing might be different, which in itself is so helpful.
Right.
Because someone will say something at an angle where I thought, gosh, I've never thought to look at it from there.
But it's the sincerity and the honesty and the purity that you so infrequently find, even in your tightest of friendships.
And for probably that very reason, right? Because we're trained to not go up against those edges. So even in our closest friendships, there's that sort of protection, that defense, that...
And, you know, again, it's a fear of judgment. But when you address your faults and you let it all hang out and you let it all be honest, you wear that then as... a shield. Nobody can use it against you.
It's funny, isn't it? It's opposite of what we're told.
Yeah.
If I kind of put it all out there, I'm going to be so vulnerable and I'm going to be hurt.
But the greatest strength comes from vulnerability.
Absolutely.
You know, because nobody can use that against you ever again.
Yeah. And what I think we see in that, which I think is what you're pointing at, is those full faults. What we realize is, wow, there's truly nothing wrong.
Yeah.
There's truly nothing wrong. That's only happening in a conversation.
Yeah.
And as soon as, you know, there's a way in which that conversation is a blackmail system.
Yeah.
And as soon as we expose it, it's sort of like Scott was saying, where it's like, gosh, what do I do with Gandhi? He's not going to, there's nothing we can do with him. There's no way we can blackmail him because he won't play the game.
Yeah.
And so when we expose it all, it's like, there it is.
Yeah.
And then the voices can't play the game with us anymore.
Yeah.
They can't control us in that same way.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting that the greatest defense is to reveal yourself to be defenseless.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Human being right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Thank you all.